Well, I must compliment you two boys. You're really good at the cartels. Even when the tempo picked up, you kept good rhythm. You have experience playing cartels or kind of new at it? Kind of new at it? Okay. I'm a little bit at a loss, Lal Gopal. You're going to have to help me. What to do? What I had planned, I don't, you know, we'll quickly lose the attention of our front row personalities here. But I'd like not to lose their attention, so what to do? I'll let you five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're going to decide what we speak about tonight. You're being empowered, so feel powerful for a moment. Do any of you five, do you read Krishna book? Krishna book. Huh?
I'm part of Venkatesan Dhanalakshmi.
Okay.
Cultivation of
hope. Okay.
On Saturdays, they attend the class.
Okay. Let me just hang out with him for a bit here, just like, you know. So, Krishna book. Do you read Krishna book? Do you read Krishna book at all? You know what Krishna book is? Yeah, that one. Do you read that one? No? Do you?
The silver-colored
one? Yeah, silver-colored one, that one.
I don't read that.
You don't?
I read the orange.
You mean the orange one? Okay. Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Should we talk about the orange one or the silver one?
Silver one.
Okay.
Orange.
Orange. I hear two oranges. He says silver because they're friends. He'll say whatever his friend says. Orange. Orange.
He says silver.
He says orange.
Let's do both. Let's do both.
Orange.
You change your vote?
Yeah, let's do both.
The silver one?
The both.
Both. Okay. Both. Both it is. Okay. We're going to do both, though. So you won. You all won.
Yay.
Did you all come to the program last Saturday, the Mahatma Gandhi Center? Do you remember what the name, what I spoke there? Remember I stood up in front of, made a fool of myself in front of everybody on Saturday? Do you remember what I spoke about? It was from the silver one. It was Pastimes of Krishna. Krishna, and there's a particular name or quality of Krishna. Remember that one? Bhakta? Vatsala, that's it. Bhakta Vatsala. So I'm going to take that theme, the Bhakta Vatsala theme, and speak something from the orange one and something from the silver one. Okay? Okay, so what does Bhakta Vatsala mean? You got the name right. So what is it? What's the meaning? Vatsala.
Krishna is always there for his devotees.
Exactly. He's always there for his devotees. Very good. So, way, way back, let's go to Vrindavan for a moment, from the silver one. Yay, Vrindavan. You like Vrindavan? Okay. 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 Well, Krishna, because we just observed Krishna Janmashtami, I'm teaching you some stories from the silver one. So now you can, next time I ask you, you can say, yeah, I know some stories from the silver one. Okay? Krishna book. So, Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudev, his father, and Devaki, Vasudev and Devaki. And when Krishna appeared, he appeared in forearm form. And he had a helmet, a golden helmet, and a long garland down to his knees, and ornaments, and a fine dhoti. This is when he was born. It was pretty unusual. And in his hands, he had a club, and a disc, and a lotus flower. And what's the other one?
A conch.
Conch, very good. Very good. He showed the symbols of Vishnu. And then he spoke to them and said, you, in previous lifetimes, you wanted to have the personality of Godhead as your son. So you underwent long, thousands of years, because in previous ages people lived for a long time. Thousands of years of austerities with just one purpose, to have me as your son. Or to have a son like me. But there's only one of me. That's me. And there's nobody exactly like me, or even quite like me. So, for two incarnations I appeared as your son. Now, I'm showing you, I'm the personality of Godhead. I'm not just your son. Then Krishna, at Devaki's request, he assumed a little baby form. Little baby form. And before that, he requested his father, Vasudev, to carry him on the other side of the Jamuna River so that he would be safe from Kamsa. So Vasudev carried him to Gokul. But Kamsa, he wasn't satisfied that Krishna had disappeared. He sent demons after demon after demon to go try to kill Krishna. And it became so disturbing in Gokul that Nanda Maharaj gathered together the village elders and said, we have to do something. There are too many demons coming here to Gokul. Maybe if we go back to our ancestral home in Nandagram, things will be nice. So they went to Nandagram. And Krishna remained in Vrindavan for how many years? 12 years, right. 12 years. And after his 12th year, Kamsa received a visit at his palace from Narada Muni. And Narada Muni was received very nicely by Kamsa. So Narada Muni said, you pleased me so much by your reception, I'm going to let you know a secret. That eighth child of Devaki that was supposed to kill you, that was that voice from the sky, he's appeared. And he's living in Gokul. Oh no, he's living in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. But I was just on the heavenly planets before coming to see you. And the demigods were having a demigod conference. And they said, they're going to come and take care of you, Kamsa, so you better take care of your backside. You better do the needful. Take care of that little boy, the eighth child of Devaki. Kamsa, you're smart, you know what to do. I'll see you later. Oh, thank you very, very much. So, Kamsa, immediately, his mind was very quick in demoniac ways, he immediately called for his best of best ministers. And his name was? Go ahead, try. Starts with an A. His name means not cruel. That's a pretty good hint. Akrura. Akrura. Remember now? No? Akrura. That was his name. Akrura immediately came. Kamsa told the whole deal. Nara just said, the demigods, they're trying to get me. So I'm going to take care of Krishna first. And I've got a plan. I'm going to send two more demons But just in case that fails, I want you, Apura, to go to Vrindavan and invite Krishna to come for a big festival here to Mathura, the capital city. Right here in, right in my palace. We're going to call it a bow festival, stringing the bow. So, Akura, I can count on you. You're the best. And I've got a brand new golden chariot. Our acharyas described, they thought, Kamsa thought, he's like me. He'll be really proud. Whoa, I got a new car. A Rolls Royce. A real new golden one with white horses. He'll be really glad to take that chariot ride. Akura said, my dear Kamsa, I'll be more than happy to go and see my dear Krishna. But I'll let you know, as your minister, you're inviting your own death. But I'll be glad to go, no problem. See you later, Kamsa. So first thing in the morning, Akura left. And as Akura was going to Vrindavan by chariot, it wasn't just an ox cart. It was fast horses and a new chariot. Zoom, zoom. It took him all day. Now, one day I took that ride from the Mathura train station by what's called the Tunga. Tunga, you've heard one of those? You've not heard of one of those? It's a cart drawn by a horse. That's what a Tunga is. So I rode the Tunga. It took about 20 minutes. 20 minutes to go from the Mathura train station to Vrindavan. It took Akura all day long. And he had four horses. You know why it took so long? He was in a state of complete absorption and thought of Krishna. Complete absorption and thought of Krishna. He didn't even know where he was. The chariot was going this way, the chariot was going that way, and he was just absorbed in thought of Krishna. And there's some beautiful prayers. In fact, Akura is said to have achieved perfection in devotion from this one activity of prayer. Prayer is something that all religions do. Akura was best. He offered prayers to Krishna. He was thinking, when I see Krishna, he was anticipating meeting him because he had never met him. When I see Krishna, I'll immediately fall at his feet and I'll see his beautiful, effulgent form with beautiful lotus eyes and his head bedecked with peacock feather. And he'll have his buffalo horn in his waistband. And he'll have his flute in his hand. And he'll smile with such charm. And I'll speak wonderful words in appreciation of my Lord Krishna. He was absorbed in offering his prayers in his mind. So, fast forward. Akura took Krishna to Mathura. How old was he? 12. You remembered, good. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they hadn't seen Krishna for 12 years. They only saw him the very night that he was born. And they're his parents. And they haven't seen him for 12 years. So Krishna and Balaram, they did many wonderful things, including taking care of the humongous elephant, Kuvalyapita, wild and intoxicated, crazy mad. And Krishna smacked him, knocked him to the ground, broke off his tusk, and smashed him over the head with his own tusk. Kuvalyapita was finished. Balaram took the other tusk, and they went waltzing into the wrestling arena of Kamsa, because that was the plan, to have the wrestlers kill Krishna. Krishna fought Chanura, and Balaram fought Mushtika. Big, powerful wrestlers. These are 12-year-old boys. How old are you?
12.
Big, powerful wrestlers. finished. Krishna finished Chanara, and Balaram finished Mushtika. And they had some brothers. Did you know that? Chanara and Mushtika had brothers. And the brothers came rushing into the wrestling arena, and they finished them too. And there was one personality left. Kamsa. Go. Krishna looked up at Kamsa, who was seated on a high seat. And out of the corner of his eye, Krishna was ready just to pounce on Kamsa. Then you want to know what happened?
Yeah.
Krishna jumped up, and he grabbed hold of Kamsa, and he dragged him down and let him have it. One, and he was finished. And so that all the people who were terribly afraid of wicked Kamsa, Krishna took him by the long hair and just dragged him across the ground, so everyone knew he wasn't just knocked out, he was dead. Flowers from the sky came. The demigods were showering because they were also harassed by Kamsa. And then Krishna went to the prison house where his mother and father Vasudeva and Devaki were. A very beautiful scene. Krishna and Balaram seeing their mother and father for the first time in 12 years. They looked up at their mother and father, and their mother and father looked at them, and they understood, this isn't just our son, this is the personality of Godhead. So they were in a mood of reverence. But Krishna, he wanted parental affection, not reverential affection. So Krishna expanded his yogamaya potency so that Vasudeva and Devaki would forget that he's the personality of Godhead, and they embraced him. And Vasudeva was crying and showered Krishna's head and Balaram's head with her tears. Mother Jasoda embraced them both, placed them both on her lap. She was so happy. Excuse me, Devaki placed them on her lap. So happy. After some time, they thought, we're in the royal order, and our son hasn't even gone to school yet. So they consulted, who's the best of all teachers for our sons, Krishna and Balaram? And they found out the best teacher was Sandipani Muni. I'll say it again. Sandipani Muni. Best teacher. So Krishna and Balaram went off to Sandipani Muni's school. And one of the persons in the school, they were sons of the royal order, Kshatriyas. Right? Royal order, Kshatriyas, kings. But there was another student in the school who was from a Brahmana family. And his name was? You know? Sudama. You know the story? Did you have a drama about Sudama?
Yeah.
Oh. Who performed it? The children or the adults?
Children.
The children. So you know the whole Sudama story? Okay. Well, you guys that haven't read that silver one, I'm going to enlighten you a little bit. But specifically, I want to speak about Krishna's quality of Bhaktavatsala. Bhaktavatsala. So, Sandipani Muni, the teacher, he engaged them in learning everything. But Krishna, because he already knows everything, it didn't take him long to learn everything. There were 64 lessons, and he learned one lesson every day. In 64 days, he graduated. Yeah. He's Krishna. He's the personality of Godhead. But one of the things that a teacher does, one of the things that the students do, is offer respect to their teacher. And one of the things that the teacher does is teach the student to be in the mood of humble service. Sometimes we have to teach adults to be in the mood of humble service too, because they never went to Gurukul. But children learn that in Gurukul. Humble service. So what was the humble service? Because Sandipani Muni, every morning, performed a yajna. Just in this morning's class, we had somebody, one of our guests, ask, what's a yajna? So you guys know what a yajna is, right?
No.
Sacrifice? When, you know, you have a little fire arena, some bricks and some sticks and flowers and fruits, and the priest pours ghee, clarified butter, into the fire, and people put grains into the fire, and he says Vedic mantras, and swaha, swaha. That's a yajna. A fire sacrifice. That's one kind of yajna. There's another kind when we chant. That's sankirtan yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. Sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. That's what yajna means. So, Sandipani Muni was going to do the fire kind of yajna. So he engaged these two boys, Krishna and Sudama, to gather wood for the yajna. So they went to the forest. And they would do it practically daily, just humble servants. Samatpani is the phrase in Sanskrit. In one's hand, carrying firewood. Humble service. He's the personality of Godhead, and Sudama is a son of a Brahmin. But however exalted they may be, they did humble service for Sandipani Muni. And one of those days, they went to the forest. Big storm. Lightning and thunder and strong wind. So Sudama and Krishna, they just held each other's hand and went underneath a big tree for shelter and spent the whole night. They were happy being with one another. Sudama, a pure devotee, and Krishna, the personality of Godhead, they were as happy as could be. Meanwhile, back at his ashram, Sandipani Muni was in anxiety. These two poor boys, they've gone to some service and this big storm. So first thing in the morning when the sun rose, he went with all the other school children searching in the forest for Krishna and Sudama. And when he found them, he was so relieved, so happy. And Sudama and Krishna were very happy just being in the forest with Sandipani Muni or without him. They were very contented. But Sandipani Muni said, I'm so much indebted to you for this sacrifice on my behalf, this austerity that you've undergone. So some time passed because they were the best of friends. Because sometimes there's a relationship with Krishna, like Arjuna, where they're friends. Although Krishna is the personality of Godhead and Arjuna is the devotee, because of Krishna's quality of bhaktavatsala, sometimes he just likes having his devotee act as a friend, or as Vasudeva and Devaki, his mother and father, or as Srimati Radharani, as his dear friend, girlfriend, or his queens in Dwarka. So many loving relationships that Krishna has. You with me? I'm losing their attention quickly. You with me? Okay. So later on, Sudama became married. As Krishna became married, he went to Dwarka, married many queens. Sudama also married to a very nice Brahmani woman. And after some time, Sandipani Muni was very poor. I mean, he was happy, but his wife was in some anxiety. You're so skinny. You hardly have anything to eat. You only have one cloth, and I'm concerned about your well-being. He said, I'm fine. Everything is fine. We have a very dear friend. You have a very dear friend, Krishna. He's the prince of Dwarka. If you go to Krishna, if you go to Krishna, surely he'll help with whatever necessities, so you don't have to be in such a difficult circumstance. He didn't want to go, but he didn't want his wife to be in anxiety about him, so he went. And when Sudama went to Dwarka, immediately Krishna got down from his throne, placed Sudama on his throne, and worshipped Sudama. He washed his feet, he performed arti, his wife Rukmini was fanning Sudama, like deity worship. He worshipped him. Because Krishna has Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hittaya Cha. Jagat Hittaya Krishna Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna loves cows and he loves the Brahmanas. And he worships them. He gives protection to them. So, I can sense I'm losing your attention again. So, I'll fast forward. We'll get to the Bhaktivatsala part. Sudama brought from his home some rice. Because when you visit someone, commonly, a wonderful and exalted personality like Krishna, like when you go to the temple, you can bring some gift for the deity. Some flowers or some grain or anadan. Make some gift at the altar before the deity. So he brought some rice. But because he was so poor, the quality of the rice was really bad. Broken, poor quality rice. He was embarrassed. He had it tied in a little cloth. And Krishna asked Sudama, did you bring something for me? And Sudama was hiding it behind his back because he was just embarrassed. He was in this opulent palace. And look at this crummy rice. So Krishna snatched it from his hand because Krishna knew. He grabbed it and started, opened it up and started eating. He took one bite or morsel, then a second, and the third time Rukmini grabbed his hand and said, please don't. She was thinking, on the one hand, this is inferior quality. But you know, Krishna was thinking, this is the devotion of Sudama that I'm accepting. Not the quality. I'm accepting the devotion with which Sudama is offering. And they had many nice exchanges. And Sudama returned back to his home. And as the next morning. And as Sudama was going back to his home, what was he thinking? Yeah. Krishna is very kind.
Yeah.
Right?
Krishna is very kind. How can he treat me so well, which I just brought him some very bad rice? How can he treat me so well? He washed my feet, he set me on his throne.
Very good. And there was another dimension of thinking Krishna is very kind. He was thinking, Krishna knew why I came. And Krishna didn't ask me, although he already knew. Because if he asked me and I said, I came for you to help relieve me of my poverty, Krishna would give so much. And when Krishna would give so much, then I would become proud. Oh, I have so much and I'm very favored by Krishna. Krishna didn't ask for that reason because he didn't want me to become proud. Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. Bhaktivatsala. And then, when he got to his home, he couldn't find his home.
Big palace.
And what happened? And so someone came out of the palace and said, you know, what happened to my cottage? And who are you? She said, I'm your wife. Wait a minute. You're dressed in such gorgeous ornaments and cloth and now I recognize you, but what happened? And she said, oh, well, this was Krishna's arrangement. I thought because you had asked Krishna, Krishna made all these arrangements and you were going to come back and we'd be happy in a nice palace. And then Sudama understood, Krishna is omniscient. Even though I didn't ask, he knew. And Krishna fulfilled this desire that my wife has, concern for me, just because Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. This is the quality of Bhaktavatsala. One of the unlimited examples, because it's his nature. He's very affectionate. And he's especially affectionate to those who are affectionate to him. And Sudama had such affection. There's a beautiful painting when Krishna was washing Sudama's feet. I'm going to look you right in the eye. You just look back. Sudama was leaning over. Krishna was at his feet. Sudama was crying. And Krishna was crying. It wasn't just the washing his feet. There was such love between the two of them. And one who has love for Krishna, he's already so kind that his kindness just flows unlimitedly because he's Bhaktavatsala. And now we're going to speak something from the orange one. There's many verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna's quality of Bhaktavatsala is disclosed. And one of them, that's my favorite, one of my favorites, is where Krishna says, for those who engage always into my devotional service and fix their mind upon me, that's a precondition. They're affectionate to Krishna. And you can fix your mind on someone when you have affection for that someone. Wherever you are, you think of that someone. Just like when you're at work. You're working for your family members, so you think of your family members. Sometimes people put a little family picture by their computer or their workstation because it's for these persons that I'm making these sacrifices. Those who I love very much. And even if you don't have the picture there, they're in your mind because of that affection. So it's very easy to always think of Krishna when you have affection for Krishna. When you have love for someone, you think of that someone. So, to those who are always engaged in my devotional service and whose mind is fixed upon me, I reciprocate with them by preserving what they have and carrying what they lack. So that's a very nice verse from Bhagavad Gita. And it's specific. It's this kind of specific. It's where Krishna is saying that he personally makes such an arrangement for taking care of his devotee because he's Bhaktavatsala. So there's a story that Prabhupada told about one commentator on Bhagavad Gita who was writing his Bhagavad Gita commentary in Jagannath Puri. And he had a very nice name. His name was Arjunacharya. And as he was writing his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he got to this verse. And when he got to this verse, it disturbed his heart. Because the verse says, Krishna says, to those who are devoted to me, I personally preserve what they have and carry what they lack. And Arjunacharya was thinking, this isn't right. How can a devotee who wants to serve Krishna accept service from Krishna? That's not right. So it was very disturbing to his mind. So in his Bhagavad Gita, he took his writing instrument and scratched out the word. Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. He scratched it out. And in that disturbed state of mind, he went to do his midday duties, take his bath. Very shortly after he left, two boys came to the door of Arjunacharya's residence, and his wife received them. Both boys were very, very beautiful. One was very blackish in complexion, and the one was very whitish in complexion. Hint, it was Krishna and Balaram. So two boys came to the door, and they brought with them, they had in their hands, some very special vegetables and ingredients for making an offering. And they said, your husband, Arjunacharya, has sent us to your door to give these to you. So please accept them, and you can use them to make an offering to your deity. He just sent us on his behalf. And she said, oh, how very nice. You're two very beautiful young boys. Come on in and wait until my husband returns. Oh, no. We're not going to wait until he returns. He beat us. And she said, my husband beat you? He's a brahmana. He's a very elevated, pure brahmana. He would never beat you. He said, look. And they lifted up their shirt and showed the marks on their back. Strike marks. The very same looking strike marks as on the page of his Bhagavad Gita commentary. Then we're leaving right now before your husband comes back. And so she didn't know what to think. My husband beat these little boys? And look at these vegetables. They're celestial. I've never seen anything like this in the marketplace. I always want to get the best from my deities, and I never find anything like this. So after some time, Arjunacharya came back. And he saw his wife immediately in her mind was confused and disturbed. And what happened when you're looking this way? She explained everything. These boys came and they offered these, look at these wonderful vegetables, but they said that you beat them, and they showed the marks on their back. Did you beat two boys? Little boys. He said, can you describe these two little boys? And she described beautiful features, lotus-petaled eyes. One was very black, like a monsoon cloud. And the other one was white as milk. And such beautiful features. Did you beat them? Is that, I can't, how is that? I've never heard you do anything like that. So he went and sat down and looked and saw that the marks were the page where he had struck out Vahamyaham. And he stood up and said, my dear wife, you are the most fortunate person in this world. Krishna and Balaram have just come to your door. And he explained to her, I marked this passage from Bhagavad Gita that said that Krishna personally comes to preserve what you have and carry what you lack, and it was disturbing my heart. He wanted me to understand it's true. I come personally for my devotee because I'm bhaktavatsala, very affectionate to my devotee, very kind to my devotee, personally. And this is our teaching from Bhagavad Gita. Some of you that were attending these presentations last few days, the personality of God has unlimited potencies. Unlimited potencies. And they basically fall in three categories with subcategories of those categories. One is the internal potency, antaranga shakti. Then the living entity, this tatastha shakti, marginal potency. And there's the inferior potency, or bahiranga shakti. So the living entity has the choice, free will choice, of associating with the internal potency, spiritual potency, or the external potency, the material potency. That's our marginal position. We can go this way or that way. And when you associate with the internal potency, that's through the medium of devotional service, you're in direct contact with Krishna, or Krishna is in direct contact with you through the agency of that internal potency. And so when you engage in devotional service, please know, please be fully confident, Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He has great affection, more affection than we can even fathom, we can even imagine. He has great affection for his devotee. And even we're insignificant little specks, kind of little blip on the screen of existence, Krishna feels great affection for his devotee. And Krishna takes care of all of our necessities. It doesn't mean we become lazy and lie around and do nothing. What we do is devotional service. We serve Krishna. Instead of serving Maya, we serve Krishna. We're very enthusiastic to serve Krishna. But it's not our endeavor that's providing our necessities. It's Krishna who is providing whatever it is that we have and whatever preserves whatever we is in our care presently. And if Krishna wants to take some of that away, he can take some of that away. That's okay. It's his anyways. But our position is we're fully dependent upon Krishna. So we can be dependent upon an illusory conception that says, I do whatever I want to do, I'm free and independent, until I get a toothache, or until I have to obey the traffic laws, or until my car breaks down, or until I have to pay my taxes. I'm independent. I have to get old and diseased, but I'm independent. I have to die, but I'm independent. So we can be in the illusory energy, or we can be in the care of the spiritual potency. And when we're in the care of the spiritual potency, Krishna directly, the other is indirectly, and this one is directly. Everything is under Krishna's control. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. Another nice verse from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is in control of the material energy. He directs it entirely. But those who become situated in devotion to Krishna, Krishna personally, directly, looks after all of everything that happens in our life. He gives us service. He takes care of his devotees, like a loving father. We're reading in the section of the Bhagavatam where Lord Shiva chastises Daksha. The example given by Daksha is like a cowherd carries a stick in his hand. So you also carry a stick in your hand. And you give protection, like the cowherd gives protection to the cows, but sometimes you use your stick and you punish those that are foolish. So I've been very foolish, I offended you. So that stick is there. So sometimes Krishna admonishes when we start going in directions that aren't very wholesome. He reminds us, stay in the middle of the road, stay on the straight and narrow path that lead to him. But always remember, Krishna is very affectionate to his devotee, Bhakta Vatsala. And there's so many, many, many nice examples from descriptions found in Bhagavad Gita and descriptions found in this Krishna book. I recommend, we lost one of our five. I recommend to you five that you regularly read Krishna book. It's easy to read, right? The vocabulary isn't too big. You don't need a big dictionary, and it's very charming. You'll find after some time there's some favorite stories. You can read them again and again and again and again. And you just want to hear that story again and again. Like the Sudama story, it's very nice. You read the detail. Some young devotees like you guys, especially the boys, you like, Krishna's killing the demons. Aristasura is a favorite one. Because Krishna is all pure, whatever, and all attractive, whatever you read that brings your attention, Read it again and again. Hear it again and again. Bring your mind to Krishna. And you'll feel something, some reciprocation from Krishna, because he's very affectionate to his devotees. Okay. The end. Ta-da! So this is completely spontaneous. I had a whole other idea to speak about, but you guys inspired me. Any comments or questions? Yes? No? No. Okay.
Just a common knowledge.
Okay.
Just, you know, in the other two classes we talked about the rules and regulations and everything, but today's class is always so nice to hear, like Krishna's pastimes.
Yeah.
It's always so enjoyable to hear again and again, and especially I like the Arjunacharya story. It's really more inspiring to me.
You got something, Bhakti Bill?
Yes, I was just curious, like when it mentions when Krishna says he's the three Vedas, the Rig, Sam, and Yajur. I wonder
why not the fourth one?
The Atharva Veda. Where does that come from?
It just fell off the radar screen. These are the three when Vyasadeva divided the Vedas, Veda Vyasa, he divided the Vedas. He divided them from one Veda. And when he divided them, there are three principal Vedas, and the other is the remainder. Those remainder verses went in the Atharva Veda. So the three principal Vedas that are revered the most are those three. The Rig is certainly part of the original Chatur Veda, four Vedas. So he mentions the three principal ones.
Not later,
but it's a little technical, and you like technical, but I'm not going to go into too technical. There are different aspects that each of those three, Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas, stress. The Sama Veda in particular is very sweet sounding, and it's a lot of Karmakanda Yajnas are presented in the Samaveda. So many people favor the Samaveda because of its sweet sound and the perks, the fruits that they wish to receive from them. But anyway, scholars have a whole way of describing this that I'm not going to give you this what scholars say. I'm just going to what Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord, these three are the principal Vedas. And the fourth is the Atharva Veda. Yes?
Maharaj, when Krishna appeared in four-arm form,
yeah,
the glove, disc, the lotus flower and conch, is there any specific significance?
Is there any specific?
Specific significance, like why?
I mean, why did he appear as Lord Vishnu? Or is there significance of each of the items? Okay. Two, when Krishna appears, there's Pritranaya Sadhanam and Vinachaya Chaduskritam. So two of them are for Pritranaya Sadhanam and two of them for Vinachaya Chaduskritam. And it's pretty easy to figure out which are which. The club and the disc, Vinash. And the conch and the lotus, giving benediction.
So, otherwise, the lotus significance, like Brahma coming or creation? Is there anything like eight? Child.
There was a purpose. And it's a long story. But the first six children were previously sons of Kalanemi. And it's a long story. And then the seventh was Balaram, because he appears before Krishna. He's the elder brother. And then the eighth was Krishna. So there was a prior curse that those six sons would take birth and then be killed just after birth. It was a curse that was being fulfilled.
Was it any,
and Kamsa was the agent.
Was there any good child after all? All are boys? Or?
Yeah, all boys. All were boys. All six were boys. And then number seven was? Balaram. Balaram.
Maharaj, one question.
Yes.
Why Krishna took 12 years to come back and save mom and dad? What was the reason for it to be? Because he's not...
Leela. He was fulfilling the desire of the residents of Vrindavan. Because they have such love for Krishna. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they had the opportunity of having for the rest of their lives. And then the residents of Vrindavan, for the rest of their lives, there was separation from Krishna. It's something, I'll go slowly. Krishna appears in Vrindavan once in a day of Brahma. So during each day of Brahma, there are 1,000 yuga cycles, correct? Satya, Dreta, Dwarpa, and Kali. 1,000 of those. In one of those 1,000, in the 999 of those 1,000, Krishna appears as a four-armed form, blackish in color, carrying the symbols of Vishnu. And he's known as Vasudev. But once in a day of Brahma, and this particular yuga cycle that we're in now, the 28th yuga cycle in Vaibhasvata Manu's reign, Manu number 7, Krishna appears and performs his Vrindavan Leela. Once in a day of Brahma, and that's a long time. So, in the Vrindavan Leela, he exhibits the same as the Leela is exhibited in Krishna Loka. But he exhibits those same pastimes for the world to those that were present to see and the rest of us to hear. To attract our hearts and minds to Vrindavan. Because there's an intimacy of love in Vrindavan that isn't found anywhere outside of Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan to show those childhood pastimes up to 12 years of age, and then returned to Mathura, and then after some time went to Dwarka. So it's described in the scriptures that there are these same divisions in Krishna Loka. There's Vrindavan, there's Mathura, and there's Dwarka. In Dwarka, opulence is exhibited. In Mathura, there is an increased degree of intimacy. And in Vrindavan, everything is overwhelmed with intimacy. Madhurya. Intimacy of sweet, loving pastimes. So Krishna exhibited them. And, you know, perhaps by your question, it sounds like at the expense of mom and dad.
No, was there any reason, like, because of...
Separation. No. Leela. Separation. An important Vaishnav teaching is, just like Ramchandra's separation from Sita, love and separation intensifies the love of meeting. Vipralamba bhav is more intense than the love of coming together. Sambhog. So, Krishna is experiencing that, and he's giving the Vasudeva and Devaki that opportunity, but then he also leaves Vrindavan and doesn't return. So they're steeped in love and separation from him. Okay. So, Something else? Yes.
Maharaj, I was just thinking like the six children of Devaki, they were cursed in their previous lifetime that they will be killed by the Kamsa as soon as they were born. So it was predestined. So when they were born and Kamsa killed them, so did Kamsa get a simple reaction?
Yes. Something, let's say, you know, the wheel of destiny turns. So the wheel of destiny comes somebody's way. And the wheel of destiny coming my way, I have choices to make. I don't have to do some heinous thing, oh, because it was destined. I can choose not. My karma may be such that, let's just say, the karma of murder is in one's next life, if one is murdered, one will be in a situation where you can take the life of the other person. It's destined. Now I can choose to take the life of the other person or not. Oh, what can I do? I'm just destined. No. Your Honor, it was just destiny. In his previous life, he murdered me, so I'm, you know, it was my destiny. No.
What I'm thinking is, like, for my particular, when I reflect back to my life, I did a lot of stupid things. I could not have done. All I know now, because of association with devotees, I should not have done. And it was my responsibility to know whether to or not to do.
Correct.
But the way I was brought up, the way situations were, I never inquired that, or
okay.
I was just wondering, like, now I can see what did I do. But when I reflect back, I don't have...
So, it sounds like you're asking, if you don't know you're doing stupid things, are you held responsible for them? And the answer is yes.
Yes, I'll be responsible. Even though I'm taking responsibility whatever I did,
people in general are covered. And in that, here's a simple phrase. The root cause of all suffering is ignorance. In ignorance, people do ignorant things. But it's not because they're in ignorance and do ignorant things, they're not karmically responsible for those ignorant things. They are. That's the suffering. The suffering is the action. And the suffering is the reaction. The suffering is ignorance. It's the root cause of suffering. Yes, she needs something. Wait. You have some hand up over here first. Nisha, yes.
This is a comment from Wednesday's class when we discussed.
Okay. You came in late, but you didn't hear. I complimented you yesterday for your question on Wednesday. But I'll say it now, and you know, expressing one's own frailties and, you know, shortcomings and things like that in a public forum, as you did, that takes courage. And then, you know, the next thing is then to apply what you hear in response. That also takes determination. Because if we don't do step one, we're not going to get to step two. And if we get to step two and just don't take the step, then the fruit of step one doesn't take place. So, compliments for your question, and now you're bringing it up again. So it tells me it was something, you know, besides it was something personal, something very sincere on your part. So go ahead. Now that I've embarrassed you.
That night, I mean, something awakened within myself. I was really asking that question. It's absolutely necessary. It's like when I heard it from you, I want to take it right away, but I wanted to give it some time to think. I mean, what my heart said is not. Actually, yesterday was our anniversary. It was a very wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Usually we mail e-cards between me and my husband. We mail e-cards between each other. So I logged, I logged into internet.
Ah.
And all, I mean, like, I went to that 123 facebook.com and all of a sudden this page popped up on the screen. Today is like World Hugs Day or something like that. And honor, sending cards to your friends and stuff like that. I'm like, there are so many days they name it Mother's Day, Father's Day, Friends Day, this day, and this is another addition, like Hugs Day. So if you're away from your beloved ones, send a card to honor World Hugs Day. I'm like, I ignored it. I just sent a card to my husband, and then I chose, and then I said my prayers and I went to bed. At that night, I really thought, thanks to Maharaj, because if I didn't hear that, probably I would be interested. I'm like, what is that? I want to know more about it. Easily 1 hour, I would be on internet.
Yeah.
So, I'm really thankful. I don't know if you felt it, like they say, like, waste, like, somebody thank you. I don't know if you felt it, but I really felt thanks for you.
Well, here's what I did feel. I felt that you meant... You, as I said, you asked your question with real sincerity. It wasn't just an information kind of a question. What about this? And what about that? Okay, and then what about the next thing? And just keep going. But it was a sincere question. And you applied it. So that's what I felt. And then the rest is Krishna's reciprocation. Krishna's, just like Bhakta Vatsala, Krishna sees, you want to take a step towards me? I'll take 100 steps towards you. And you know, if someone, in this case myself, serves as an instrument, I'm happy to serve as an instrument. And if Krishna empowers my speaking and it moves some hearts, Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. And that's what our life in association of devotees is, just a receiving and relishing the kindness of Krishna amongst one another. So we should try to help one another. You know, like you're trying to help your daughter grow in Krishna consciousness. And to do that, you have to set a nice example. So that's great. Set a nice example. Feel that impetus, and then you're eager to, you know, ways in which I can be a good example. Yes.
Provided if you would have a rewind button in your life to go back to your childhood days or school days to live or grow up in America, would you like to grow up in a culture of no culture? And then I was thinking about it last night too. The moment you asked, I wanted to say, yes, I don't want to be here. But then I was thinking over it. But I don't know, I kind of feel, yes, I want to go back and be raised in here. The reason I wanted to say that was because, like, I see me and my daughter comparing her at her age, and nothing. Though I was born and raised in India, I mean, like, I never had Krishna in my altar, or I didn't know, recognize the personality of Godhead. But like, I see my daughter is blessed to be in like good devotee association. She's able to explain to her friend. She's able to convey the message of consciousness. She's able to apply it in her life and learn more. And like, I mean, even if I go to India now for vacation, I feel kind of separation. I don't feel like I'm home. Not like physical home.
Gotcha.
But like, I get charged up when I come and I associate with the devotees. Though I'm chanting there, I chant more over there because I don't have nothing to do when I'm with my parents. Then still, like, I go to temple. I don't get that involvement of how I'm here. I feel like life here, like more livening situation and I'm amongst the devotees. Though I'm with my parents, I kind of feel that separation. So,
well, the way that I meant the question was not if you could be brought up in a devotee family and get that nice training and a nice devotee family. Would you like that? That wasn't the question. The question was the tribulations. I mean, because you're close with your daughter, I'm sure you're aware of the different peer pressures that are upon a young person growing up, and, you know, stuff that they see that, you know, they don't want to see, and stuff that they hear they don't want to hear, and stuff that's going on that they don't want to, you know, a devotee doesn't feel comfortable being around all that stuff. That's what I meant. But the protection of being in a devotee family where mother and father are setting nice example and encouraging and equipped to deal with, you know, when some question arises, here's the answer. That's wonderful. But that's compliments of you, and that's in turn compliments of the Association of Devotees activity that's been extended to you by those that have been practicing for some time. Particularly Lal Gopal Prabhu, who's very expert in helping people take part in Krishna conscious activities. Very expert at that. Yeah. Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan once in a day in Brahma. He appears every day in Brahma in his Vasudeva form.
So in other days also, every time
Yeah.
So does he perform the same kind of leelas, or is it different? The reason why I'm asking is, like, Brahma got bewildered, and, you know, he stole the cowherd boy.
Yeah. Sanatana Goswami describes as follows. Hare Krishna, kids. Thanks. Sanatana Goswami describes, the pastimes are basically the same, but there's variety. Because variety is the mother of enjoyment, and so he does things a little bit differently. And if you look at... Would you guys like to hear another Krishna story? Yeah. How about you? Okay. Do you know the Kaliya serpent?
Yeah.
The serpent, one with many hoods, and Krishna danced on his hoods? Yeah. You know that one? So, the way that it's described in the Bhagavatam is because Krishna was dancing, and he's the heaviest... It was smashing the hoods of Kaliya, and his whole hoods were all dented and bent and disheveled and out of shape. He didn't look good. But he became purified by the touch of Krishna's feet. And then he offers prayers, and Krishna says, now you can go back to where you came from, Ramanaka Lake. Leave the river Jamuna and leave this lake. Let me just finish. But in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami says, another time, Krishna takes his upper garment, like his shawl, puts it through the nose of Kaliya, and rides Kaliya, and plays horsey. And he invites the other cowherd boys, come on up, and they play horsey and ride Kaliya. And then they keep him, and every now and then they go and go for a horsey ride. Little variety. And a similar way with Keshi. Well, you know, in the silver book, Krishna, you know, lets Keshi have it. He puts his hand in his mouth, and it gets hot and expands, and so, and Keshi expires. But this time, Krishna puts his hand in his mouth, and then he tames Keshi, and they go for horseback rides. They keep him in a little corral and go for horseback rides with Keshi. Yay! A little variety. Same theme, but little variations on the theme. Someone else had their hand up? Yes, you did.
No, but
heard me?
Yes.
And he goes like, he will see the footprints on my on your head, and he will.
He'll leave you alone. Don't worry. You can go back to that same place, and when Grutus flies over and sees the impressions of my feet on your hoods, he'll worship you. No problem from Garuda. So where'd you hear that one?
Like when you were watching the animated series.
Children's education. Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai. You guys are really good. Thank you for your attentiveness.